verse in 1 Timothy again. And we're going to go on to another fable. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. I did want to say why I'm doing this. I don't know if I did at the beginning or not. I don't want this to be... Well, okay, I like making fun of these people. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. But I do. I'm serious. This kind of stuff gets me fired up. And it's everywhere. I mean, we are surrounded by it. And, you know, maybe most of us know it, what's out there, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded of it. And some new people don't know all about it. But it's still out there. If you were raised in this place, you didn't hear any of this stuff coming from a place up front. The sacred desk, Walter. But it's something we need to know about. And I'm not making up anything. This is the way people think. This is the way people talk about God out there. You won't hear anything what Walter's preaching on election out there, except for in a few places. And most of them, I think we know their names. But you'll hear this stuff time and time again. Now, before I get into this week's fable, we were coming up the road here listening to the radio. Now I was listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Okay? And they do this little thing where they play Bluff the Listener and they tell you three stories. One of them's true. The true story this time, and this is a good sign as far as I'm concerned, is that the little kid the Dalai Lama picked, that said it was he's going to be the reincarnated leader of whatever the heck they are over there in up on top of the Himalayas. He decided he wants to watch football and be with girls. So there is hope sometimes. I thought that at least it's a good start. And well, Deb did say to me, she said, man, I didn't think that one was going to be true. And I was kind of hoping it was. And I said, well, it's a lot harder. This is something Earl said for many a year. It's a lot harder to keep information out of the household, even if you're in a Buddhist monastery. You may not see a lot of girls, but there's information running around. Somebody's got a TV or an iPod or something somewhere. So anyway, I thought that was a good idea. And for those in the monastery leading the place, deal with it. Good luck. It's nice to see everybody's got rebellious teens too, though. Now, as for today, what I want to speak about is the subject that God overlooks sin or sins. Now, every once in a while, in my younger days, I used to turn on my radio to the 24-hour gospel station. I don't do that anymore. You know, you can consider this a confession of my sins. That was a joke. I would listen for as long as I could, which was usually not long. And I used to hear, and I do love this expression. Henry Mahan called it one time. I heard it on a tape. It's called... you'd hear what they call a wang-wang gospel song. Because usually it's bad, set to bad country music is what it is. It's not even good country music. It's set to bad country music. But the really disturbing part about this was not the music. It was the words they were singing. Like I said, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing worse than falsities preached about God, fables, unless it's fables sung by people on the radio, because it was pretty bad. Now, there was a particularly bad song that really made me mad a couple of decades ago. It was actually sung by Tammy Faye Baker of PTL Club Infamy. The song was entitled, as far as I can tell, I tried to find this thing on the internet, and I'm going to tell you something that's really good news. You can't find this song on the internet. So this is what I wrote down 20 years ago. Plus, the disturbing part is I found out it's still in my head. It's called "He Sees Me With His Heart," talking about Jesus Christ. Now, this is supposed to be a gospel song, a song about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the entire song is a wonderful, wonderful example of bad theology. Perfectly bad theology. But now, all I've got written down here that I know for sure is the chorus. And this is the chorus of the song. If you want, I can sing it to you, because I still got the tune in my head. "I guess the reason that he loves me, he don't see me with his eyes. No, his eyes don't see at all. He looks beyond what I have done, and yet he sees the sparrow fall. He sees what I can be, and his grace to me imparts. He don't see me with his eyes. He sees me with his heart." I hate this song. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad or what. I mean, but I still hate this song. And I can still hear that woman singing it. Because this is supposed to be a description of the Lord of glory. This is supposed to be a description of Christ. And it is from her point of view. And that's the scary part. And this thing became a hit on the gospel radio stations. You couldn't turn the darn thing on without hearing it. And she sung it on the PTL Club, because that was when it was still on TV. Tears streaming down and the mascara was running. His eyes don't see it all. If you know the Christ of God, this is an offense to him.
Yeah.
And actually, he don't see me with his eyes. His eyes don't see it all. That's blasphemy.
Right.
Now, I've been given by God a partial understanding of the scriptures. And this song is a lie.
Yeah.
It's a fable. And this song still makes me mad, I swear. It teaches that Jesus Christ is willingly blind to the sins of his people and states that he can't really see men for what they are and still love them. He's got to get beyond that. To me, it seems that they're trying to limit God's capacity for love. The songwriter admits it. "I guess." That's what it was. And it was a bad guess. It was a wrong guess. He must not see me as I am, because if he did, he probably couldn't love me. You better hope not. Who do you think you're fooling? I believe the person who wrote the song, I do not know who wrote. That was one of the things I was going to look for, see if she come up with this mess or somebody else did. But whoever wrote it doesn't know a thing about the Bible, doesn't know a thing about God, doesn't know a thing about Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. And they proved it when they wrote this thing. There is a scripture about God that states, and I'm assuming this might be where they thought they might come up with this, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue When the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. That's in Habakkuk 1:13. Now, God is omniscient. God sees all.
Yeah.
That's a hard concept to wrap your head around. It is. I remember that scaring the dickens out of me when I was about this tall. And I also remember that scaring the dickens out of me when I was about this tall. I'm 23 years old. What the scripture is stating, and I have been guilty of taking that out of context and quoting it. He does not look upon evil with approving eyes. Even when the deeds are done by his plan. Walter was talking about that. Because it's actually in the context. The verse right before that one, Habakkuk 1:12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? That's a good start to a verse. We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment.
Right.
And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose there.
Right.
But there's also judgment coming. Mm-hmm. He was writing about the Chaldeans who vexed the Israelites by God's divine plan. But were ordained for judgment for what they wanted to do. They wanted to do it. And they did it. And then comes the judgment. These Chaldeans were established for correction.
Yeah.
Israel needed correction, and so did the Chaldeans. Walter read it. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God does what he wants when he wants to do it. And you can deal with it or not. God is not turning a blind eye to anything or anybody.
No.
Here's what God's seen. This is from Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What'd that lead to? I believe it led to a flood. Killed everybody except for Noah and his family. And it took Noah, said he, what, built on that ark, what, 120 years?
Mm-hmm.
Every nail was a sermon, they said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they said about busted thumbs, because I know there was a couple. It was pitched within and without. They went in, but God shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then, judgment came.
Yeah.
In his time. In his way, judgment will come because he sees. God doesn't like sin. God doesn't like sins.
Mm-hmm.
He is not blind to it.
No.
He does not overlook it,
mm-hmm.
but he is a rule unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, Walter. I did. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
God saw this and he did something about it. When he was ready.
Mm-hmm.
When it was his time.
Yeah.
So, what about Jesus Christ? Does he not see with his eyes? Does he see with his heart? Bless his heart. That's what we call sentimental drivel.
Yeah.
The fact is that Jesus Christ saw and sees his people exactly as they are. And still loves them. That's love. See, that's the part you mean to me too many times. Well, people that are mean to me too many times, I don't love. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
People who kick me when I'm down generally have a tendency to make me mad. People who scoff at me and mock at me usually get the same thing back. But, you know, still, it's not love. In the light of the scriptures, these songwriters, their teachings that they're coming up with make no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And the reason they don't make sense is because they're lies. They're fables. Where he says in that chorus, he looks beyond what I have done. And yet he sees the sparrow fall. So he sees everything what he wants to. And simply put, no, he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't see beyond anything that I have done. He does not look beyond my deeds. He does not look beyond my faults. He does not look beyond my thoughts. He knows my sins better than I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows your sins better than you do.
Yeah.
And he knows your sins better than I do. And he knows my sins better than you do.
Yeah.
He sees. He sees. This is plain in the scriptures. Christ saw men as they were and as they are. Because Christ saw the hearts of men. And they were desperately wicked. There were some who believed in the name of Christ. Now that's supposed to be a good thing, right? They believed in the name of Christ. That's what it says in here. But it's not always a good thing. John 2:23-25 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Not just some. All men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fooling God.
Yeah.
You're not putting one over. You're not slipping one by. There's not anything getting past him. I swear, well, I do. I know. But it's like, it's just a great example of they have no idea who they have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I know they don't know
they don't.
With whom they have to deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. And that's why sometimes you should keep your mouth shut. Because Lord knows I've made myself a fool a time or two by opening my mouth. Believers were reconciled to God by the death of his son when we were enemies.
Yeah.
Enemies. I believe Christ knew that. Christ sees and knows more than we can ever imagine. He didn't need anyone to tell him what was in the heart of man because he looks upon the heart. And that's supposed to be the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
If you got any sense. That's supposed to be the scary part. Christ does see. Christ does know. God does see. God does know.
Yeah.
And yet, he still loves his people.
Mm-hmm.
He still calls them out. He still converts them. He grants them repentance. That's grace. He's seen everything we've done, we're doing, and we're going to do, and he still is not ashamed to call us brethren.
Yeah.
That's grace.
Yeah.
That's grace. And that's amazing. That's the good part. Christ does not have to avert his eyes from what his people are doing in order to save them. That's what this stuff leads to.
Yeah, right.
Where you don't know where what you're saying or whereof you affirm.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're saying, and they don't know what it means.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to avert his eyes or look away in order to save his chosen people
mm-hmm.
that God gave him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The theology, to use the term loosely, of these people, and yes, I'm still making fun of them, is expressed further in this chorus. And man, he sees what I can be, and his grace to me imparts. He sees what I can be. It sounds like an army commercial. Be all you can be. Now, I do realize that I am mocking people. And I don't especially care right at the moment as far as that part goes. That's, you know, you say stuff like this, you deserve to be mocked.
You sure?
I mean, that's just honest truth of it.
Right.
I am no better than anyone else
mm-hmm.
on this planet.
Right.
Thankfully, I'm no worse than anybody else on this planet. But I am no better.
Mm-hmm.
To come up with a theory and proclaim it to people in a church, the reason God chose us, the reason Christ saved me, is because he saw I could be pretty good. And this guy down the corner, he couldn't be pretty good, I guess. And they say we make God a respecter of persons.
Right.
They do.
They do. They say we
make God a respecter of persons.
Right.
I said, no. That's what you wrote about in this song.
Right. That's exactly right.
God sees what I can be, so he gives me grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
As a fable, as blasphemy, as heresy, whatever you want to call it. Because they're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing I am, Earl once told me, we were down at in the basement, I think at Mabscott, eating lunch after church one day. We were having a dinner. And he told me of this fella. We were talking about this fella. It was a preacher. And this preacher, his initials, I believe, were John Riesinger. What the heck? I mean, good Lord. Who's going to hear this anyway, right? Told Earl that you can't love God unless you love yourself a little bit. That's bad psychology. That's got nothing to do with scriptural theology. That's bad psychology. And I looked at Earl and I said, what? He said, that's what he told me. And I looked at Earl and he said, and I told Earl, I meant this and I still mean this today. The only thing I like about me, really like about me, is what Christ has done to me and for me. You know, some days, you know, are better than others. Earl got that book and was reading it, and he gave it to me, and I read it. I don't remember who wrote it. I think he got it from Daryl. It was a fellow, an old pilgrim, and he kept a journal, and he would write every night in it. And he said, I was down a bit this morning. you know, and such bothered me, and this bothered me, and that bothered me. Or another day, you know, I felt pretty good at first, and then things got bad. And another day, something started out bad, started out good. It was depressing. I mean, seriously, it was depressing. It was true, but it was depressing. And I gave it back to Earl, and I said, you know, if I actually sat down and, you know, about wrote down about how my moods go during the day, I might write something like this, but I really don't want to. You know, and maybe it did this guy some good. I don't know, to get it out of his system that way. But if you do think about it, it's sort of like if you think about your lives, your families, okay, and you start to explain the relationship between brothers and sisters and all that stuff, and who's married to who and whose kids is where and all this other stuff, your life does sound like a soap opera, okay? This guy's book, if you sat down about it, about, you know, I spent this amount of time and, you know, and I had this thought and I felt bad. Okay, but then I had this thought and I felt good. But then I had another thought that felt bad again. If you write all that stuff down, it would sound like that. But that's why I don't write it down. I don't want that. I don't need that. Somebody else may. If you do and it helps you out, more power to you. But for me, I don't need it. I worry about writing stuff like this down. And then trying to get up here and say it to you guys so it makes sense. The, where was I? Oh, yes. Grace is amazing.
Yeah.
Grace is amazing. He's seen everything we'll do, we've done, we're doing, and we will do, even after he saves us, and he still loves us. He came down from heaven for the express purpose of doing this. Mm-hmm. For this cause came I into this world.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to put blinders on.
No.
I can't see everything. You might tick him off. Like I said, he sees what I can be, and his grace to me imparts is a lie. Walter's been speaking on this, about the choosing, the election of God. He chose Jacob over Esau before any deeds were done. Actually, he chose Jacob before the foundation of the world. He just let it be known before either one of them were born. And some of Jacob's deeds weren't anything to write home about. Even after he was renamed Israel. There's some things I really don't want to use Jacob as a role model for. And we're not going to talk about that guy who snuck out of, or who walked out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jacob did believe God, but that was because God gave him faith. God gives faith now. God gives life now. God did back here in the Old Testament. What he's doing is the same thing he has done. What he's going to do is the same thing he's doing now. He does not change. But these people, and this songwriter here in particular, subscribe to a particular fallacy. Well, number one, they don't understand God. Number two, they don't understand Jesus Christ. Number three, they don't understand holiness. And that's because they don't understand God or Christ. And because of that, they don't understand sin. And they don't understand sins, plural. Sin is a nature within a man, within every man. Sins are what a man does because of his nature. Be they thoughts, deeds, words, the tongue is an unruly member.
Yeah.
And boy, don't I know it. God is holy, holy, holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since they don't understand God or sin, they have this idea, and it's there in their theology. I got to quit here in a minute. That God somehow overlooks sin.
Mm-hmm.
That you just kind of, they can't really explain it because they don't understand it, but they can't really explain it because it doesn't make sense. He's just still going to let some things slide by because he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the reason they give. God loves you. But God loves everybody. They tell that too. But some folk he ain't letting slide. They tell that too. Because it doesn't make sense. They don't fit together. I guess the reason he loves me because he sees me with his heart. He don't see me with his eyes. You're right. You're guessing and you're guessing wrong. It's a bad guess. God has declared authoritatively, sin is going to be punished.
Yeah.
God has declared he hates sin.
Mm-hmm.
God has declared, see, it's time to quit. The rooster crowed. If he does it two more times, I'm out of here. God has declared that sin is going to be punished.
Yeah.
God has declared the punishment for sin. It's death.
Yeah.
It's not a slap on the wrist. It's not a shame on you. It's not rapping you on the knuckles with a ruler.
No.
It's death.
Yeah.
Death. That's the only punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is going to die. Who's going to die? Whosoever will, sin is going to die. Whosoever sins will die, because the word of the Lord has been spoken. The soul that sins shall surely die. And this is true. And what it needs to be done, though, with this statement, that the soul that sins shall surely die, needs to be factored in to every single bit of theology there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they don't do.
Yeah.
The soul that sins is going to die. And it needs to be factored into every bit of theology there is in the world. But it's not. Because they don't understand it. When most people, religious people, state God forgives sins, what they mean is God lets people off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how I know this. It's because I read their dictionary. I sat there and listened to people say this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to them. And Lord mercy, it's time to stop. We'll get into the rest of it next week. Because no matter what they say, no matter what anybody says, no matter what I say, the soul that sinneth shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. The soul that sins shall surely die. And that's where we're different than the people who wrote this song. And I'll talk about that next week. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. And Lord, we ask for your blessings. And we ask for you to give Walter the words we need to hear today. And we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did come for the express purpose of saving his people from their sins. And who did expressly save his people from their sins. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory because it is yours, now and forever.